Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Listening is Odyssey's commitment to mental health conversations. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, or mental illness, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's 988.
Welcome to another one of these. I'm Austin York. That's Alex Solis. He is joining us for the rest of the season, along with Tristan Rhines, who is out this week. But this is America's team. And America's team won their first game pretty convincingly, I'd say. The first shutout in an opening day game, but it was the largest margin, 40-0 in the history of the team. Let's just get right down to it, Alec. I don't know about you, but I looked at this game and I thought, I don't think you could start the season off better. What were your thoughts about the win? What was your reaction? Anything stand out to you? Everything stand out to you? What were you thinking?
I mean, I kind of think, you look at this Dallas Cowboys team right now, the way it's set up defensively, they get pressure from all sides. And they took Micah Parsons out like by the middle of the second quarter. They had other guys, whether it was Odighizuwa, whether it was Chauncey Golston, whoever it was, they were getting constant pressure on Daniel Jones the entirety of the game. And, you know, ultimately, I kind of look at like this defense following the similar blueprint of the 2015 Broncos, you know, with Von Miller, with DeMarcus Ware, former Cowboy, now Hall of Famer. If you can get pressure, the quarterbacks and opposing offenses will make mistakes. They and the secondary is good enough now to where they can take advantage of those mistakes. You saw that. I mean, late in the game when I think it was Hodges of the Giants caught that pass across the middle.
Diggs just strips.
Yeah, they're up big, and Trevon Diggs just does not care. It strips it. And this mentality this team has this year, we haven't even gotten to the offense yet, but they looked efficient when they needed to.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up Diggs, because to me, Diggs looked very physical, which is, if there was a knock on him, it might be that. That he was maybe take some chances and try to avoid physicality. But he knocked the ball loose against Saquon Barkley, pops up, Deron Bland right there, runs it into the end zone for a pick six. And then that one, like you just mentioned, he actually got, I don't know if he got burned, but he kind of gave up that pass and then he got it right back. So I like that. The thing that really impressed me was that the game felt over like in the first quarter. I mean, once you saw that block field goal attempt, it kind of sent like, oh, wow. And then they went right back. They threw the ball three straight times, which was the dumbest thing. You don't want to try to beat this team throwing the ball. There is a knock on the Cowboys. I think it was the first drive. The Giants looked pretty good running the ball. They ran the ball right down the field, got to a third and two. Then there was a false start, and then they got it backed up even further, and so they had to kick the field goal, and then it was blocked. So the one thing I like about the Cowboys is that defense looked absolutely smothering, and you mentioned it. It's kind of the mindset. When you, I don't oftentimes listen to the sounds of the game that the Cowboys release. Yeah. But it was interesting to hear so many guys on the defensive side saying, we got to choke them out. We're not letting them. We'll make them quit at halftime. That's their mentality. And I also heard Dan Quinn say something interesting. After the game, you don't get a lot of 40-0 victories, especially in your opening game, against a divisional rival.
Playoff team at that last year, too.
Playoff team mm-hmm. on the road. And yet, what did they do? They celebrated, but they didn't go over the top, and all eyes were on the Jets next. I really thought it was impressive. Was there one player to you that stood out in this game that you thought, wow, Cowboys, to me, it looks like he's about ready to blow up?
I think outside of Micah Parsons, I think the one guy who is stood out to me as far as rushing the passer and playing the run, I think it's Odighi Zuba.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Yeah, he's a kid who, you know, came out of, what, UCLA, correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been kind of a rotational guy the last couple of years in the NFL, but he really seems to have carved out a role with this defense among the rotation. And again, like I said, like I mentioned, Micah Parsons was out of the game by the second quarter, and you have so many guys in that rotation staying fresh, constantly getting pressure on Daniel Jones. And man, Odighi Zuba was a guy that stood out to me right away because, again, this is a guy who was kind of a, if you weren't a Cowboy fan, he'd be unknown.
Mm.
And he stood out so blatantly obvious Sunday night.
And look at the one thing that you were talking about with Micah Parsons out of the game, or he was being used differently. The thing is that guy creates so many problems. You saw that when I mentioned that. It was down to 3rd and 2. They got the false start because Micah Parsons is breathing down their neck. The guy's thinking, he's coming, man. He's coming right now. He takes up double teams, and that allows Odighi Zuba to get to the quarterback and other guys. It's not just him. Sam Williams, I thought, looked mm-hmm. pretty good in the game. I thought pretty much you could have picked anybody on the defense. Wanya Thomas looked good, and he's one of these safeties that barely made the team, and you're like, wow, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him. So I think the defense looked absolutely spectacular, as they should have. I think, because I think this team is going to be led by the defense. But we're switching over to the offense now. I found personally that this is kind of hard for me to grade the offense because it was a wet field. It was raining, driving wind. They basically sacked half their plays to just run a more conservative. And they didn't have to really do a lot.
Nope.
What did you think? Was there anyone that stood out on offense to you?
I mean, I guess if there's somebody, it's good to see Tony Pollard is fully recovered from that leg injury that he suffered in the playoffs. And I know, you know, usually the timeline when a guy gets hurt in the postseason and then to expect him ready to go week one, especially with the lower leg injury, it's tough. But he looked good, you know, coming out there on a wet field, running the ball, and he scored a couple times in that game. So it was good to see Pollard healthy. And looks like he's RB1 this season for the Cowboys and should be a guy that's fully good to go for, you know, the stretch.
I think for me, and I know that this is going to sound kind of an interesting pick, but it was Dak Prescott.
I like that.
And,
I like that
pick. And I don't think he threw a bad pass in that whole game, even though it was wet outside. They had five drops. You had two tight ends drop, two passes, Jake Ferguson. And they, believe me, they made fun of them, and they made their point when they got back to the Star.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those tight ends had footballs in wet buckets of water. They had to learn to catch these things. They did a good job blocking the ball. I think that they did a pretty good job opening up some runs, but neither one of those guys helped Tony or Dak Prescott out in that particular manner. And I know somebody else had a drop, and I will think of it in a moment. But another not the tight end. Anyway, there was five drops. But other than that, Dak looked pretty efficient. I thought he didn't do a lot of playing, you know, doing anything pre-snap motions or anything like that. They didn't get any pre-snap penalties. And I just thought his poise, it was kind of as if he was, even though the defense was leading it, he was the leader of the whole team. And
right.
That pre-game speech that he gave out on the field, I just thought, wow. And to me, it was backed up when Jerry Jones was actually on our sister station talking about he's the greatest quarterback leader that he's ever seen on the Cowboys. That's, he's had Troy Aikman. He's had Tony Romo. He's had some others. And to put him number one, I think, says something.
No, for sure. I think you look at a guy like Dak, who kind of really, since 2016, when he came in the league, has kind of been that guy for this team. You know, not just the player, but the leader, the guy who commands respect from his teammates. And, you know, it's funny. You watch these, you know, quote, national sports talk shows, you know, whichever one you prefer, and they all seem to attack Dak Prescott in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, you hear guys talk about Dak in the locker room, they don't care about that. Dak doesn't care about that. They don't. And they know the kind of player and guy he is, and that's what matters ultimately at the end of the day.
We'll see it and talk about it a little bit later on, but we saw some other high-profile quarterbacks have very poor weeks. And you're not going to see or hear any kind of major breakdown on their games other than they had a bad game. And we all know if you wear the star, it's different. It just
is. It's a target.
It is a target, and you're going to get unnecessary criticism. I think Dak is one of those guys that's gotten that. He deserves criticism, believe me. I don't believe he's played very well in those last two playoff games with the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of these picks, especially last year, they went above and beyond. Look,
it's an anomaly.
He did not have great route runners on the team, and his receivers a lot of times didn't help him out. But I think that was important, too. He didn't turn the ball over at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to quell that criticism, don't turn the ball over, even if it's your receiver's fault, and then that'll go away. And that's what happened. We're not hearing anything about Dak Prescott and interceptions. It's 10 minutes into this thing, and we're pretty much summed up the whole game. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. Even the special teams look great. I'll ask you this as a quick one. Is this an indictment on the Giants? Are they this bad, or are the Cowboys just pretty much this good?
That's a great question. I'll tell you right now, I think if I had to kind of plan out my NFC playoff rankings, you know, based on, you know, going into the year, and then obviously after week one, the Cowboys to me are the best team in the NFC. I think Philly, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but Philly, I think, is going to have some regressions.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners, as cool as they are, the quarterback is still a question mark to me. You know, it's an unknown commodity, and everyone else is kind of trying to figure it out still. But on paper, the Cowboys have the best roster.
And they're deep.
Probably the deepest, too.
That's the thing that we don't even talk about. Mike McCarthy talked about it today, is that this defense has not played its best football.
Nope.
And they are deep. They're getting guys back. Donovan Wilson's coming back.
The thumper.
Jordan Lewis is coming back. I mean, you're getting guys healthy on this team again. So I think what I mentioned last week, and I know you weren't in on this one, but I really do believe that the Giants are going to have a come to Jesus year. I think that last year they way overachieved. They were not a playoff team. I give all the credit to that coaching staff, Brian Daboll, and mm-hmm. all those guys over there. But this was just not a team that should have made the playoffs. I think that's why they got whipped so badly by Philadelphia. It wasn't even a real game, in my opinion.
Right.
And so I think that they're going to have a little bit of a come to Jesus year. Daniel Jones is going to struggle. That I don't care how many Saquon Barkleys you got back there. If you don't have a line, which it doesn't look like they have, then you're really going to struggle.
More receivers at that, too.
Yeah, and he didn't get helped out at any. I don't want to put all the blame on him, because we know there's a lot of things that go into a quarterback being able to pass and make the completions and look so good.
And have a clean pocket. Have a clean pocket.
You got to have a clean pocket. You got to have guys that can catch the ball. Ask Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you have to have those things. So I think they're going to have a little bit of a fall, but I do still think the Cowboys should be very impressed with that first round win.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the league. And is there one game that stood out to you that you thought, wow, I didn't expect that, or this is exactly what I expected, this is exactly what I thought would happen? Anyone make a statement one way or another?
So I think the fun answer would be the Miami Dolphins, and I say this because last season, right, when Tua Tagovailoa was healthy, this Dolphins team was, I would say, one of the better teams in the AFC and the NFL as a whole. And you saw that this past week against the Chargers. You know, Tua was dropping dimes left and right. Tyreek Hill was – the Chargers had no answer for Tyreek Hill. I mean, Jalen Waddle was on the other side too, but Tua kept feeding Tyreek Hill. And
when you have that, why not?
It's working. Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. It's funny. Tyreek Hill, when he went to Miami, what did he say about Tua? Tua was probably the most accurate quarterback I've ever played with. And people freaked out. They were like, whoa, you play with Pat Mahomes. Like, you know, you can't be saying those things, right? But all I'm going to say is, if you look at that throw that got them in the red zone right before, you know, Tyreek had the game-winning touchdown. You know, on the run, scrambling, Tua, he said, flicks his wrist. An absolute dime to Tyreek in stride, you know, at least 40 yards down the field, or 30 or so. It was absolutely a phenomenal pass. And I think if Tua can't stay healthy, which he's learned how to fall on his own properly in the offseason, which that's important. And
that is my one knock against him. I don't know about him.
Yeah, I think in week one against a team that everyone loves, Justin Herbert, right? Herbert is like on this pedestal behind Mahomes, Burrow, and then maybe Allen, depending how you feel about Josh Allen.
Tua
deserves some of that talk too. Like, as long as he's healthy, I think he's equally should be in that conversation.
The only reason that I would not highlight Miami is because I still look at the Chargers as a team that just loves
Chargers.
To find a way to lose. And they put up 34 points. If you put up 34 points against anyone, you expect to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost 36-34. And they still had chances to win that game late, and they just found ways to lose.
Chargers going to Charger.
The Chargers last year had a 27-0 lead in the playoffs in Jacksonville. And I remember that's when I became really impressed with who I call Goldilocks, but Trevor Lawrence coming back after throwing four picks, and he leads them to a victory, keeps chugging. I mean, it didn't lose any confidence. But that's the thing about the Chargers, is that they always find a way to lose. I think it's in their culture right now. I think they have to find something.
I was shocked when they brought back Brandon Staley.
That's the problem. I think it might need to go simply, and I don't think it's totally his fault, but I think something has to be done to let the team know there's a difference here. I do think, like you, there was all this talk around the Chargers when they got Kellen Moore. Oh, he's going to open up this offense. And I think he'll be fine with the offense, but there's something that has to change there in L.A., or else this is going to be the same Chargers team. I think for me, the thing that surprised me was the Cincinnati Bengals. I do think Cleveland is going to be better this year,
mm-hmm.
And I did expect them to finish second in that division, maybe behind Baltimore or whatever, or Cincinnati, probably Cincinnati, the leader there. So I wasn't surprised that they won. I'm just surprised at the way they won. Joey Burrow, probably because he didn't practice a lot with his injury, looked horrible.
Yep.
Everyone looked horrible. The offensive line looked terrible, which it still seems they have not fixed over there.
And they just cut Lyle Collins.
And that says something about Lyle Collins.
I think so, too.
Make the Cincinnati Bengals. So for all you Cowboys fans thinking, let's just bring him back, I don't know about that. The defense didn't look particularly good, and the Cleveland Browns just did whatever they want. I still understand Deshaun Watson is good. I understand that. But this, for them to have that kind of dominant performance against Cincinnati, especially with all the hype Cincinnati had coming into the season, just signing Burrow to that big contract, that kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought Cincinnati would put up a little bit more fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think you kind of look at that Bengals offensive line, and it's a bunch of high-priced free agents. You know, Orlando Brown Jr., Ted Karras,
and you got some other
Kappa.
Guys. That's right.
Yeah.
But again, they're not getting it done. And it just shows one thing about that people look at the Cowboys, and they oftentimes criticize several things with this organization. You cannot criticize the draft and develop. They have done that so well see other teams just have not.
Probably one of the best to do it.
They probably are.
Yeah.
And if you say, their offensive line depth, you name me one team in the NFL that doesn't have offensive line depth problems. And one guy out, now you're going to be searching for that next guy. So I have no doubt that Lyle Collins will probably end up somewhere. But I don't think it was Dallas. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the big elephant in the room, and that was the Monday Night Football debacle.
So deflating.
It was.
Yeah.
I know the Jets won the game. What was your reaction when you saw all that, and then Aaron Rodgers go down four plays in.
So, I mean, it's funny. We talked about it Wednesday in the studio beforehand about the environment, the atmosphere at MetLife. You know, the lights went out. The fans are going crazy. Grotch just came out with that flag on 9/11. And you're like, man, like I felt that on my couch. I was like, okay, the Jets, I'm seeing this right now. And I know probably going into the year, I think a lot of people maybe saw this team as like a borderline playoff team considering how stacked the AFC is. You had questions about Rodgers. But watching Hard Knocks, you bought into that team.
Oh.
Like 100%. And like you saw a side of Aaron that you really hadn't seen before. Like the guy that was described in Green Bay wasn't that guy in New York. I think he bought in to the culture, to Robert Saleh, to these young guys, and everything. And it was I'm not a Rodgers fan, but it just sucks seeing that happen four plays in for him. It just sucked.
Oh, absolutely. Your description was absolutely correct. That's what I thought. I'm sitting there watching, first of all, this song that ESPN is playing, White Horse by Chris Stapleton's brand new. I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
It's about if you want a cowboy on a white horse riding off into the sunset. I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers. He is the pale rider, the Clint Eastwood figure.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming in to save the town, to save the city, to save this organization. And that's the way they built this.
Yep.
I mean, the Hard Knocks was put on his shoulders. ESPN, I mean, the NFL wanted it because he was the draw. This was huge. This was drama for your mama. It was everything that the NFL wanted. And they did it well. And then on the backdrop of 9/11, and here he comes in with the American flag. It's like Rocky Balboa kind of is like, yeah!
You couldn't help but root for it. You're like, this is a good story at the end of the day.
The most watched Monday Night Football game ever on ESPN, and that's with the final ratings, because everyone was watching that. And I didn't necessarily care what happened to the Jets, but just four plays in, my God. And you feel bad for the guy. Just because you wanted to see something more. And so I do think what this does for the Jets is it completely takes them off track. They're going to be a competitive team, sure, but Zach Wilson is not the answer for that. If he was, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be on the Jets. I mean, they brought Aaron Rodgers in for a reason.
Right.
And so I look at that. Anything else that stand out to you about week one? I know you're a Saints guy.
Yeah.
What did you think about their game one?
I think at the end of the day, I think Derek Carr is probably the best quarterback. Oh, he is the best quarterback we've had since Drew Brees retired. And I think in that game, you saw a lot of it. He had 348 passing yards, I believe. Chris Olave had over 100 yards. Rashid Shaheed, who had the touchdown, had 89 yards. Michael Thomas had 60 yards. Look, if your top three receivers are putting up those kind of numbers week in and week out on average, you're going to be a good team offensively. You're going to put up points. Defensively, last year the Saints really lacked turnovers. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL when it comes to forcing turnovers. They had three picks in that game on Ryan Tannehill. And, I think probably for the first time in a couple of years, I'm genuinely excited about this team. It's been a
there
minute. So I'm
all picked them to win the South. I think that that division is really suspect after watching the first week. I agree with that pick. I don't care what Tampa Bay did to Minnesota. This is still the class of the South.
Yeah.
Not saying anything more than that. They probably win the division. And one other note that I saw was the Bears. I was completely surprised at how bad the Bears played.
Maybe the most disappointing team.
Yeah, this was
everyone. Yeah,
a lot of hype was going into Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy into that, but I did think for the first time in a long time, the franchise said, "Hey, we're in this now.
We got a
shot. Rodgers is gone.
Yep.
The Packers are turning the page. They're in kind of this transition mode.
They're going to commit to our young quarterback.
That's right. Yep. They brought in some guys. They made a great move, I thought, to move out of the first. Got a lot of picks. And
DJ Moore.
Yep. And they looked horrible. they looked absolutely horrible. Justin Fields looked bad. The defense looked bad. Claypool wasn't even trying. And he might get benched as a healthy starter. So I just thought that was pathetic. I was really blown away by how bad the Bears played. So I really don't know how great Jordan Love is and the Packers, but I do know that the Bears were not ready to play that game.
And, Bears going to bear.
Yeah, and you really now have to look at this week against the Buccaneers. That's a must-win game for me, at least, for mm-hmm. them to just get their composure back, to get their confidence back. And I guess we'll go into this next week game starting right there. In Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers knock off Minnesota, so they're 1-0. But the Bears coming into that, how do you think that plays out, and who are you taking?
I'm going to lead towards Tampa in this game. I think Baker Mayfield is a guy who I don't think everything was his fault in Cleveland. Obviously, for how it ended, the guy he played hurt the entire season, and then Watson, comes in and he goes to Carolina with Matt Rule dysfunction. And looks decent in L.A., and I think in week one, Baker showed me he can play in the NFL still.
I always have said the same thing. I thought if you gave Baker Mayfield a chance,
right,
just got him some stability, got him some good receivers, and said, hey, this is your team, I thought he could do that. I think he played well in Cleveland. He won him a playoff game.
Got him to the playoffs.
Damn near beat Kansas City, if you remember that game in Cleveland.
If Higgins was a fumble out right before halftime.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, this is a different game. So I think he can be a leader. I do like his cockiness at times. I don't necessarily know that translates into a division title or playoff victory.
Yeah.
But I do think he can be better.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm picking this as him as well because I really, like I said, I was very disappointed in Chicago. Very disappointed in Justin Fields. I wasn't buying into the hype that he's the next big thing, but he definitely still has a learning curve there and has to worry about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Moving on to San Diego. I say that.
It's San Diego. Still.
San Diego, probably. Two teams that lost, the L.A. Chargers, the Tennessee Titans. It looks like the Chargers are 3-point favorites. Forget that. It's in Tennessee.
And it's the Chargers.
What are you going?
The right answer is the Chargers, right? Like, that should be the right answer. I'm picking the Chargers. I'm going to have a little bit of faith in them that they don't mess this one up because it's Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill. You can't mess this up.
It's one of those things. I think you're right about Staley, the head coach there. I think he really knows, hey, my butt could be fired if this doesn't turn around quick. I think that this is one of those games where they have to win.
Yep.
And I hate to say must-win games in week two, but you can't start 0-2. I mean, this is problem with the Chargers is that they've started off slow or they've started off hot, and then they have these dramatic twists that happened last year. So, to me, this is a must-win, or else there's going to be starting to get some grumbles. Hey, Staley needs to go before this thing goes off the
rails. Talk about that mid-season firing right there.
Yeah, yep. he could be a guy. One that should be one of the better matchups this week, Kansas City, Jacksonville, in Jacksonville. Jacksonville, a big victory in their week one. Kansas City, we know their opening day loss to Detroit. No Travis Kelce. Chris Jones is not there. He's back. Is this a Kansas City rebound here?
I think it is 100%. I think they're going to get Kelce back, I believe, and Chris Jones will be back.
Yeah.
And Chris Jones, I would tell you he's on the Aaron Donald level-esque of interior alignment where he can play pretty much anywhere on the line and disrupt plays no matter what. So getting that back will be tremendous for the Chiefs because that front seven was David Montgomery. Say what you want about Jahmyr Gibbs' usage. Montgomery was getting 4 or 5 yards of carry up the middle, in that entire game on Thursday night.
I thought he was far more effective than Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, for sure. But the Chiefs should take care of business and handle the Jaguars.
I'm going to go that way as well because, again, Super Bowl champs die hard.
Yep.
I think they're going to figure it out. I definitely know that I'm blanking on his name right now. Tony, that dropped the three
Kadarius
passes.
Kadarius Tony.
He's already come out and said, "Look, man, this was on me."
Yeah.
He's apologized to everyone. I think he's going to bounce back. He's not that bad a receiver. Should he shut his mouth about New York and stuff.
Probably.
Especially when you do that. But still, I think he's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs win this game, even in Jacksonville. This is kind of one of those, I know a Colts fan, so I'll probably watch. Colts-Texans, two rookie quarterbacks going at it. Drafted, Stroud was two, and Richardson was four, right?
Yes.
So very close to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Going to see where they take. Both lost. I thought Richardson looked better in the first week than Stroud, so I think the Colts might win again here in Houston.
And I'm going to piggyback you on that one because I think the Colts, they lost the game ultimately, yes, but they were a lot more competitive. With all the nonsense that is Jim Irsay as an NFL owner and saving orcas and not paying Jonathan Taylor in the offseason, the headlines they created in Indy, I think the Colts, they played relatively competitive, all things considered. So,
yeah, and I think out of those two, I don't think any of these quarterbacks that came out this year are guaranteed stars.
Yeah.
I think they're all works in progress. Who knows?
That's fair. Yeah.
But I do think that Richardson probably showed a little bit more in that week one win or loss than did Stroud. So I'm going to go with them. Packers, Falcons. I know everyone's always on Jordan Love right now. In Atlanta, though, is this one that you could see the Falcons sneak up on Green Bay?
I do think so. Because I think, it may sound, they say division games, you kind of toss out records, toss out, everything. It's the Bears and Packers. We know the Packers are going to handle the Bears. So this Falcons team is interesting, right? Because they seem to really want to do the two-back system with Algier and Bijan Robinson, which is kind of terrifying. Desmond Ridder can't really complete a football pass.
No.
And unfortunately, if you have Kyle Pitts or Drake London in fantasy, don't play them because no. But having said that, I'll take the Falcons in an up. I don't know if it's a upset, but I'll take
Atlanta.
They're
a 1.5-point favorite actually in this game.
Okay. Give me Atlanta at home with a run game. I'll take that.
I'm going to take Green Bay. I think that the Green Bay is all around a better team. I think they get Christian Watson. I think they're getting Christian Watson back as a wide receiver. I know he didn't play the first week. I think that Jordan Love showed me at least
something.
He is more comfortable in the pocket, and I do think that Atlanta's problem at the quarterback with Ridder. I think you're going to have to throw the ball.
He's so
bad.
You're going
to have to throw the ball. You can't just sit there and run it. And I know, I think the Packers have a better defense this year than they did last. I think it was even pretty good last year. So
yeah.
I think the Packers win in Atlanta to go 2-0. Another team that won, Jimmy G and the Raiders against Buffalo in Buffalo. Buffalo, to me, just crapped the bed in the game against the Jets. That was, there's a lot to you can say about Josh Allen, but they're 8.5-point favorites in this game. The Buffalo Bills are. I think Vegas is thinking they're going to come out angry, upset, and Josh Allen is probably going to have a better game. What say you?
I'm taking the Raiders in this game. I'm going to see Buffalo falling to 2-0-2, and then the chaos will begin for the Bills. Josh Allen, it's so tough because he's so athletic and so good, but he's so carefree with the football. And you saw it a lot more last year. Monday night, they lose Rodgers. You're playing Zach Wilson. You throw three picks to the same guy.
And fumble, yeah.
Yeah.
Three, same guy.
To the same guy who got a bonus because of that.
And that's the thing is that what I noticed about Josh Allen, and I've seen this a bit, is he takes off running when he doesn't have to. He takes hits when he doesn't have to.
Yes, yes.
And that's something that I used to bitch about Lamar Jackson doing and stuff when he would take off a little early when I thought.
At least Lamar slides.
Yeah, and so Josh Allen to me I don't know if he's regressing, because I have seen him make some wonderful throws,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, wow, that competitiveness. I have seen him drive guys on his back and just say, hey, I'm taking you down the field.
Right.
We remember those playoff games.
Yeah.
But it's just not happening right now. I think the Bills do win, though. I think the Raiders are banged up with Jimmy G. I think Davante Adams is kind of banged up. I'm not so certain on his.
So is Jacoby Myers.
Meyer, that's another one. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bills. I don't say it's convincing. It's not going to be a 20-point win, but the Bills will win this one, I think. Get back on the right side. Ravens-Bengals. Bengals, obviously, we just got done talking about how bad they were. Ravens looked pretty good against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I think Cincinnati.
I think Cincy will bounce back, gets the home opener. You know, Joe Burrow, a guy who didn't really practice all much of camp and the preseason, is still, you know, sluggish, trying to get back into his groove. I think at home, the Bengals, in particular the passing game in recent years with Joe Burrow, has always had the Ravens' number defensively. So I'll take the Bengals at home.
I'm not too certain how good Baltimore is this year. I know that they have OBJ, but I don't know.
The Zay Flowers kid is good.
Yeah, I think the defense looks kind of suspect to me.
Yeah.
And I don't really say that a lot about Baltimore. So if Baltimore is going to be led by their offense, that's where I have some concerns. And so I'm going to take Cincinnati as well at home. Like you said, Joey B is pissed off at his performance, and so I know he's going to come out
right
a little bit different. And you can't keep those three receivers down the way that they did. They failed in Cleveland, I guess. So
weather won't be a factor too, I don't think.
I'm going Cincinnati here. Seattle in Detroit. Detroit is now, at least it seems, everyone's favorite team.
Yes.
This is the sexy team.
This is my favorite team.
Yeah, Dan Campbell. I mean, you can't help but like him.
I mean,
Detroit, Seattle.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson put on Twitter that all the Lions fans need to buy blue shiesty masks.
That's right.
And Amazon sold out within minutes, Austin.
Look.
The fans are committed.
I'll say that. Dan Campbell has said that place is going to be probably louder than Arrowhead.
Can you imagine the suburban families with shiesty mask in that dome? It's going to be crazy.
Detroit has not had a team to talk about in years.
Exactly.
In decades. And so they show up. I don't think Seattle was a playoff team last year. It took the last game to get in.
That was a magic fluke year by Geno, I think.
L.A. beat them pretty handily,
With no receivers.
The Rams, that is. Yeah, with no receivers, basically. I think that Detroit pretty much screws up Seattle here. What say you? In Detroit, am I wrong?
No, you're right 100%. I think Jahmyr Gibbs will kind of get the crowd going, and I think they're going to use him a lot more in this game because of the way Seattle plays defensively. I like Detroit in this game. At home, the fan base is bought in, and hey, momentum is a real thing in football. So you get that crowd going, you get the confidence growing. Not much. It doesn't take much after that. So give me Detroit at home.
All right, then we got the 49ers in L.A. Rams. 49ers, to me, looked really good against.
Yep.
I wasn't sure what to make of Pittsburgh, but I thought they were going to be better than they were last year, more competitive. This game wasn't competitive at all. Brock Purdy looked like he was just as good as he was last year.
Pat P said he was going to catch some picks on Brock Purdy, and did not happen.
It did not happen. And like you said, the Rams don't look like they're going to get a lot of their wide receivers. In fact, their main guy, the rookie, is banged up. I don't know if he's going to go. Didn't practice today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the 49ers lose this game in L.A.?
You know, it's weird because the Rams and Niners do play each other tough, you know, since McVay's been there. They always do. Having said that, though, I think this team is just going to be too much for the Rams. I think the Niners, they should take care of business against what really is kind of a shell of that Super Bowl team from a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think what you're finally starting to see is what happens when you put it all in.
Oh, yeah.
I think for all the Cowboys fans that suggest that the team does not do that, look at Tampa Bay, look at L.A., and tell me, would you want your team to be there now? Because that's exactly what they did. They put all their chips in. Luckily, they won. But again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this game. Giants and Cardinals. Do we see the Giants losing this game?
Yeah, give me the Cardinals in this one.
You really think so?
I think give me the Cardinals in a upset. Josh Dobbs is a rocket scientist, Austin. He will use science to beat the Giants and figure it out.
I don't see that at all. I think that Arizona is just. I think they've
I don't blame you for taking the Giants, by the way.
Kind of mailed it in this season. Josh Dobbs, they just picked him up, 2 weeks ago?
Last week of the preseason.
Starter. Yep. So I'm going the Giants in this one. Commanders at Broncos. Broncos lost to the Raiders in Denver. I don't know what to make either one of these teams. I thought Sam Howell looked better as a quarterback, but it surprises me when your head coach, Commander's head coach, Ron Rivera, doesn't know that his quarterback is any good. And he's like, well, if I had known he was this good, I would have played him last year. So I don't really, I don't buy Commanders at all, but I don't know what to make of a Denver quite yet. Russell Wilson is just not where he needs to be.
Right. I mean, and he looked, I guess, more comfortable is the right word for, you know, last week. He looked more comfortable with this offense. Sean Payton is an offensive genius. We know this, but I just don't know if Denver is really in the right place to compete, like, in the next couple years, honestly. But I think he'll get it figured out this week at home again, against a pretty suspect Commanders team. So give me Denver at home.
I'm taking Denver. I think that they get the victory. Dolphins and Patriots in New England. You were really high on Dolphins. You see them winning this game in New England?
I do. I think this will be a shootout, though, in all seriousness.
I do, too. I think that Mac Jones looked a lot better in that game against Philadelphia. So I think it's going to be close. I could see New England winning, but I'm going to go ahead and pick the Dolphins as well.
Yep.
The Browns and Steelers on Monday night in Pittsburgh. I think the Browns win this game. I think that they always play Pittsburgh tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that they got that first win, and I think they feel pretty good about themselves. And I think Pittsburgh really got kind of shell-shocked that they were not ready for prime time.
Yeah. Is this game at Pittsburgh or
it's
in Cleveland?
It's in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Ooh, and the Browns are debuting their all-white icy uniforms.
That's right.
They're white helmet and everything,
favors,
Give me Pittsburgh just because Mike Tomlin's a guy who usually responds well with this team after a humiliating loss like that in week one. At home, primetime game, national audience. Mike Tomlin's going to get it figured out one way or the other. So give me Pittsburgh in a tight one.
The other Monday night game I didn't really care about, but I know you do, is New Orleans against the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. I don't know if there's a lot to talk about. I see New Orleans handling Carolina pretty easily. Bryce Young had some growing pains in that first game.
Yeah, for sure. I think give me New Orleans on this one. I think, simply put, I think New Orleans is the team to be in the South, and they should take care of business on Monday night.
All right, the big game that we're here to talk about, the New York Jets looking a lot different now with Zach Wilson as quarterback. Is there any way that Dallas lays an egg and loses to the Jets?
I don't know if lay an egg is the right word, but that Jet defense is scary. It's scary good. Much like Dallas, they have bodies on that defensive line in the front seven that can generate pressure at almost any time. The secondary is good, so if the Jets can generate turnovers and make opportunity for Zach Wilson, give him that short field, and they get points, not touchdowns, but just points in general, I mean, they can hang around and make it a game. But I think ultimately both sides of the ball of the Cowboys, it's going to be too much.
I think you're right, but I will say this. In years past, I would have probably been worried about any team.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys had ways of playing to their opponents where they would go out there, shock the world, and look pretty darn good against one team, and then a sub-500 team would come in and hand them a loss, or it would be way too close.
Yeah.
I think this game, as long as Dallas, what the Jets did, and I've oftentimes said this, if you remember a couple of years ago when Dallas lost Dak, he had that broken ankle in the game against the Giants. And the Cowboys responded. They went out, and if you remember, they won that game. The next week they played Arizona, and Arizona beat them 37-10. I mean, it was they blew them out.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys never were the same the rest of the season. Eventually, talent and that injury is going to take its toll. And I think that's what's going to happen to the Jets. They're going to have to – I think that you get caught up in the emotion.
For sure, yeah.
That you're ready to go, hey, let's go get them, the adrenaline. But when the week comes around and you start seeing things not working the way you thought they were, I think it's going to – I could see this game getting ugly. I think that this team has the right focus. They're not going to take anything for granted. They were talking up this Jets defense all week. And I think they're going to continue to do that tomorrow and into the weekend. But I think deep down on that side, they said, that offensive line for the Jets is horrible. You saw that even in the four plays that Aaron was in. He was running for his life. He had to throw a ball away. I can only imagine what they're going to do to that guy. So I'm taking the Cowboys. It's minus 9.5. I wouldn't be too worried about taking the 9.5 or giving the 9.5 in that one. That's just me. All right. Hopefully that they win this. Right now, Philadelphia, as we're recording this, is up 13-7 over Minnesota. Let's hope the Vikings at the half turn it around and pull off an amazing victory. But Jalen Hurts, not having such a great game.
Nope.
Not horrible, but he's not having such a great game. And he's starting to look a little bit more human. I think we predicted that. Until next time, guys, have a good one.